Hi there. Good morning. Good afternoon to everyone. This is Darren Wallace. I'm joining you here in the United States, and I lead the privilege to lead our crop science communications here in North America. Thank you all so much for joining on relatively short notice. We greatly appreciate your time. We have some special speakers joining us from the Bayer side in Germany. Beth Roden, who's the Global Head of Communications, and Liam Condon, who's the President of the Division. So we're very appreciative of you joining today. For those of you that will be asking questions, which will be later on, you'll need to press star 1 on your keypad to go into the queue, and we'll gladly take your questions after Liam finishes his brief remarks. With that, I'm going to hand over to my colleagues there in Germany. And Beth, take it away, please.
Thanks, Darren, and good morning, everyone. And thank you for joining us today. We appreciate you making time and know you all have really busy schedules. We expect you may have questions about updates on the closing of the acquisition of Monsanto that we shared earlier today. But before moving any further, I want to address one topic. We are unable to discuss any information related to the capital increase for legal reasons. And as our time together is brief, we ask that you please adhere to this request. As it relates to the acquisition of Monsanto, we look forward to discussing those questions with you today. As Darren mentioned, we're fortunate today to have Liam Condon, our President of the Crop Science Division of Bayer, and member of the Board of Management, who will give some brief remarks on what has transpired today. And then we are going to open it up for questions and answers over the next 30 to 40 minutes. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Liam.
Okay, thanks, Beth, and good morning, everybody in the U.S., and thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate that you invest your time and effort in listening in and engaging with us in some dialogue afterwards. I'm just going to give a few framing statements and comments up front. The reason for the call, the conference today, is, of course, that we announced we would be closing the acquisition of Monsanto on Thursday. So I just want to talk a little bit about that and then basically open the floor for questions. Before we get into too much detail, I think it's always good to remind ourselves why on earth did we do this? We've been at it now for almost exactly 2 years. We've been in discussion with Monsanto, and there was a reason behind this. And basically, if you really step back, both Bayer and Monsanto had a similar strategic intent, had a similar idea about the importance of bringing a leading seeds and traits business with a leading crop protection business together to generate more innovation. And the background to that was that we both felt there's a tremendous societal challenge out there, and that's the issue of a growing population confronted with limited natural resources, limited land, and how on earth are we going to feed the additional 2.2 or 2.5 billion people who are going to come onto the planet by 2050 in a way that everybody can have access to nutritious food without harming the environment. So this is something that we both felt strongly about and very important for us. We believed all along that by combining our resources, we could generate basically more innovation faster so that we could address some of the bigger challenges out there for farmers. But these challenges that farmers are addressing are ultimately benefiting consumers and the planet at the end of the day. So overall, as we combine now the two companies, we believe that we will have basically the leading portfolio in seeds and traits. This is clearly where Monsanto is a leader. You know, as Bayer, we had a relatively small seeds and traits portfolio. We, in essence, more or less have to divest the entire seeds and traits portfolio of Bayer, and with that then acquire the entire seeds and traits portfolio of Monsanto. And then we bring this together with the chemical and biological crop protection business of Monsanto, which was basically the most innovative in the industry. And this combination, together with the expanded digital tools that we'll have through the climate platform, which will allow us deeper agronomic insights and ultimately allow us to help farmers take smarter decisions by giving them better advice, this is where we felt where the real juice in the deal is, by bringing all of this together. We believe that innovation of the magnitude that we're talking about, the magnitude that's required to really step up and address the question of how do you feed a growing population in a more sustainable way, we believe that this requires a high level of investment. And if you look at both companies again, and taking into account now the divestitures that we have made as part of the deal transaction, Bayer's total R&D investment in 2017 would have been around 5.7 billion euros. And of that, 2.4 billion euros would have been spent in the combined agricultural business on a pro forma basis. So that's about 2.8 billion US dollars was the 2017 pro forma spend of Bayer and Monsanto. So this is something that, as we go forward, that we would expecting over time to be investing more to generate more innovation. And this is a tremendous investment in the future of agriculture. We will, at the time of close, have 35 R&D sites and over 175 breeding stations across the globe. And of course, we have approximately 8,000 R&D employees in our labs, our offices, and in the field with our customers every day. And maybe more importantly than the numbers is actually the people, whether it's the R&D, the 8,000 R&D employees or our agronomic advisors in the field. It's literally their passion for discovery, collaboration, and their expertise in state-of-the-art technologies and their profound understanding of plant, soil, and entire ecosystems that will help us generate the innovation that we're so eager to find to help farmers. Now, we all believe if we look forward now to the next steps and what's actually going to happen, this is going to go in phases. And I think this is important to highlight. There are many questions, and you will have many questions today, where we just don't know all of the answers yet. But we do believe it's really important to engage in the dialogue, and wherever you have a question that I can answer, you'll get a straight answer straight away. If we can't answer it, we will simply park it, and we will come back to you at the point in time where we can answer that question. So nothing will be forgotten. So feel free to ask anything, but not everything will be able to be answered today. So I just want to manage some expectations. Next steps overall for us, we said we're going to close the acquisition on June 7th. What does that mean? That basically means we transfer an awful lot of money, and I hope all the account numbers are correct as we engage in that transaction on June the 7th. It's technically quite a difficult thing to do. And Bayer will then become the sole shareholder of Monsanto. According to the conditional approval of the U.S. Department of Justice, the integration of Monsanto into Bayer can take place as soon as the divestments to BASF have been accomplished. This is something that we expect to happen within the next approximately 2 months. So that means Bayer becomes, in essence, the owner of Monsanto from Thursday, but we can only start to integrate the two companies once additional regulatory requirements have been fulfilled, which is, in essence, the approval of the BASF divestments. So the products, the portfolios that Bayer is selling to BASF, they need to be approved in certain jurisdictions. This is only a matter of process, not a matter of content, so it's definitely going to happen. It's just some authorities need a bit more time because of their regulatory procedures, and this will take approximately 2 months. So in that time period, Bayer and Monsanto will continue to operate as two separate entities. And that's why still today and also on Thursday, I would not be, for example, in a position to answer questions directly related to Monsanto, because technically Monsanto is still a competitor because it's run as a separate company. And as Bayer, we don't have access to confidential information on the side of Monsanto. That will only happen after this additional two-month period is over. So just to explain that to you a little bit and to manage expectations again about what questions we can answer. We have very diligently prepared for the upcoming integration. And at the end of the day now, we've had over 2 years, a longer period than we wanted to prepare. But we've used that time wisely to be very well prepared for the integration. And we believe our success will depend on developing also a joint corporate culture, a strong joint corporate culture, and one that really unites all employees. And while there are naturally some differences, we have much more in common that we can build on. We share very, very fundamental values, and both companies have a strong focus on innovation and on our customers. So you could say, in essence, our culture is a bit like a product portfolio, is a very, very complementary. Our success also depends on our ability to build trust, and this is why we aim to deepen our dialogue with society, with the public, and we're committed to listening to our critics and work together wherever we can find common ground, because we firmly believe agriculture is just too important to allow ideological differences to bring progress to a standstill. So we're going to talk to each other, we're going to listen, and we're going to do the best we can to build bridges wherever we can. One final comment before we open it up for questions. I'd like to briefly address our company's future brand architecture. So the company name is, and of Bayer is and will remain Bayer, and Monsanto will no longer be a company name. So after this initial two-month period, will no longer be a company name. We believe the Bayer and Bayer Cross is a global icon for trust and quality. And what's really important, I mean, it's clear that Monsanto employees are incredibly proud of the great work that they have done, and that's what they truly should be. However, I think their pride, and this is something I've learned in various conversations now over the last 2 years, the pride is really firmly ingrained with the great products and brands like DeKalb and many, many others that have been created over many, many years, and their customer relationships. And it's less about the Monsanto brand per se. And I think you're all aware, some time ago, a few years ago, Monsanto itself was actually considering changing the name Monsanto, and at the time actually didn't do it because of cost reason. So we felt now it's timely and it's opportune to simply use the opportunity now and to have one common company name, which will be Bayer, and for us it's then Bayer Crop Science. But of course, we will retain all of the strong brands, both in the Monsanto portfolio and in the Bayer portfolio. And I think that the recognition of the customers is more than to the brands, possibly, than the company. So that, as well, just as one final point. And with that, we will gladly open up, and I'd be happy to take any and all questions, again, with the slight caveat, I probably won't be able to answer all of them, but I'll try my best. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now be conducting a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we poll for your questions. Our first question comes from the line of Steve Davies with AgriPlus. Please proceed with your question.
Hi. Yes, thank you very much for taking the question. My name is Steve Davies with AgriPulse. I was wondering if you could speak at all to what will happen with personnel at both companies. What kind of synergies will be achieved, and will you be able to operate with fewer employees when you combine the two companies.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Steve. Appreciate the question. And I think this is particularly in the U.S. is there's a lot of interest around this. I'll give you a clear answer, but try and give you some additional information as well. So the clear answer is at this point in time, we cannot specifically talk about any personnel impact, for the simple reason only after we have closed and after this initial two-month period, we'll have access to all of the Monsanto basically confidential data, and we'll be doing what's called a post-closing due diligence, where we basically assess what the inside status of the company actually is. And based on that, then we will be basically developing our detailed plans for going forward. And that's why simply at this point in time, it's still too early to make any specific comments. However, I would give a few additional comments to maybe put this into context. We have given out some guidance on synergies, where we said the synergy target is $1.2 billion in the fourth year after closing, or in year four after closing, so 2022. And of the these $1.2 billion synergies, 80% is cost synergies, and 20% is synergy. So $1 billion cost, $200 million sales synergies. And of the $1 billion cost synergies, 70% is related to what we would call basically admin platform infrastructural type costs. So the vast majority is related to this area. And this is, for example, typically items like IT. We have today two IT systems. We both have two pay twice for all the worldwide licenses that we have in the companies. This is actually a huge cost, running two IT systems and paying for all these licenses twice. Real estate, we have basically in every country in the world kind of two headquarters. So from a real estate point of view, it is a huge opportunity to simply bring everything into one place. An example of this is exactly the U.S. We have a very big footprint for Monsanto in St. Louis. The Bayer Crop Science footprint is in RTP in North Carolina. And we've already announced that we will be moving the crop science people from RTP into St. Louis, because that will be our North American headquarters. So just to give you a very specific example. So 70%, the vast majority of costs are infrastructural costs, and with that, not people costs. I think it's really important to highlight above and beyond the specific synergy details, which are heavily infrastructure related. This whole deal is basically about innovation and growth, and we would expect over time to actually be adding headcount. For sure, there will be short-term, there will be some fluctuation, and there will be some changes in some jobs, but over time, this is going to be an innovation engine, and we're going to have to be investing. A lot of that investment is going to be in R&D in the U.S., and as the company grows, and there's also a need for supporting functions growth usually. So over time, my assumption is that there would actually be more employment as opposed to less. But for sure, short term, there will be some impacts that we can only detail out after this initial two-month period. I hope that's relatively clear, given the limitations we have right now.
No, thank you for the answer.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Steph Kukulcan with St. Louis Business Journal. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. I wanted to ask, Monsanto Growth Ventures is in kind of a period of in between after some of its leadership left. Has Bayer kind of decided what it will do in the future regarding venture capital investments, if it will kind of take up the mantle, so to speak, with Monsanto Growth Ventures, or what will kind of investment in startups and other kind of things like that will look like in the future?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Steph. It's a great question, and one that we've actually been hotly debating, and I'll try not to divulge any overly confidential information, but also because on this one, we can't conclude yet for the simple reason that Monsanto is still standalone and will continue to be standalone for 2 months. So I can't make a statement now on behalf of Monsanto, for example, what happens with Monsanto Growth Ventures. But again, like with Steve, I'll try and give you an answer that gives you very clear direction without me being able to divulge all the facts. We're actually very excited about what we see and what we know of Monsanto Growth Ventures. We think it's a great model. We think it's a model that's uniquely adapted to the needs of venture capital in ag, which is a bit different than in other life science areas. Bayer has its own venture capital approach. We have this, what we call the LEAPS approach, where we tend to do joint ventures in disruptive in areas where we believe there's a disruptive technology addressing a huge unmet need. And this is something that will continue. But we believe the Monsanto Growth Ventures approach is highly complementary to what we were doing. So we would be very excited to continue with that approach in the new company. I hope that's great. Directionally.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sonia Begman with Farm Journal Media. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, thank you. So I was wondering, how will farmer experiences with the two companies change after Thursday? And then you talk about the acquisition creating significant value, very obvious for shareholders and things like that, but what of that value goes to farmers?
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot, Sonia. Appreciate it. So what will change with the farmer's experience after Thursday? Hopefully nothing. what's really important for us is ensuring a customer and business continuity. And initially, for the, let's say, the initial two-month period where we continue as standalone companies, basically nothing changes for Monsanto. So Monsanto customers dealing with Monsanto reps, nothing changes. For Bayer customers dealing with Bayer reps, absolutely nothing changes. So they should literally not notice anything. After we're allowed to integrate, initially, I would also not expect any immediate short-term changes, again, because we're placing a huge emphasis on continuity for our customers. We don't want any surprises, so we can afford to go a bit slower here as long as our customers don't have any kind of a negative experience. And over time, what we're, of course, hoping for is that we'll be able to upgrade and augment and improve the customer experience. That will take a bit of time for us to bring the two companies together and basically to make the customer experience more fulfilling than what it is in either of the standalone companies today. But that's clearly the direction we want to go. But short term, I'd say, hopefully, no changes. Nothing should be noticed by the customers. On the value question, I think it's also a very, very appropriate question. So shareholder value, we explain to investors, and they're actually very interested in the strategic rationale as well behind the whole deal. And they get, I believe, the shareholder value part. And of course, this whole deal really only works if it's also good for farmers, and that means it also needs to be good for farmers' profitability. And we believe through the innovation that we're going to be generating that we'll help farmers on the one side to be more productive, simply with higher yields, but also to do that in a way that they can better manage their inputs as well, so that they can have better control of their cost position. And through that also, through that combination of higher yield and better cost position, to have a better profitability. So this is something where also once we have closed and we're over this 2 month initial period, we want to get the two companies together and to start defining literally then at the customer level what this will mean, and how we can ensure that this deal translates not only into more innovation, which we're pretty convinced about, but innovation that actually generates more profitability for farmers. So I can't give a specific number on that right now, but I can tell you it's a very clear strategic intent that we're going to be working on, and where we will be ultimately breaking it down to numbers as well.
Thank you so much.
Is that okay, Sonia?
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from the line of Caitlin Dewey with Washington Post. Please proceed with your question.
Hey, thanks so much for taking my question. I'm wondering if you could comment on the degree to which the decision to eliminate the Monsanto brand name relates to negative public perception among consumers, specifically in the U.S. and Europe.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Caitlin. I'm not sure, is it Caitlin or Caitlin? I would have said Caitlin as an Irish person, but the moderator said
Caitlin.
Caitlin,
I'll take either one, though. That's fine.
Okay, Caitlin. Well, for sure, just changing a brand name doesn't change anything like reputation overnight. We simply had a strong belief that the Bayer brand has a very strong positive recognition. This is simply based on brand audits that we've done worldwide. This is something that we couldn't say about the Monsanto corporate brand. And I think the more important point now is once we change the company name, that we talk about what the new company will stand for. Because just changing the name, it doesn't do so much. We've got to explain not only to farmers, but also ultimately to consumers, why this new company is important for farming, for agriculture, for food, and how that impacts consumers and the environment. And this is a story that will take time, I believe, for us to get out, because it's not a simple black and white story. There's a lot of complex issues in agriculture that a lot of people, because this is generally a pretty big disconnect often between farmers and consumers, and a lack of appreciation of the challenges that farmers actually face. So we're going to be engaging in dialogue here to try and explain why farmers need more innovation, and why that's ultimately good for consumers. And by doing that, we'll be talking about why this new client is going to be good not only for farmers, but also, again, for consumers and the environment. So changing the name, let's say confirming the name of Bayer for the new combined company, is just one step. But of course, there needs to be a lot more dialogue and engagement to bring across what the new company will stand for.
Great, thank you.
Does that address?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Emma Cosgrove with Ag Funder News. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, Liam. Thanks for taking my question. I'm wondering if you could speak to the R&D priorities after the integration, specifically about the West Sacramento facility and the very, very new sort of collaboration space that you just launched up there. You have a new head of R&D coming in from Monsanto, and is it possible that those priorities will change?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Emma. This is one of the classical examples where we will only get, and again, just to explain the process behind it, it's one of those areas where I can't give a clear answer simply because we don't know yet today we have a situation that we have limited insights into the Monsanto portfolio. Basically, we have publicly available information, but nothing more. And only after we're allowed to integrate the two companies, we will then get deep insights into their portfolio. So which
Sorry, Liam, I was referring to the Bayer facility in West Sacramento, the biologicals research facility,
okay.
And the new collaboration space there, which was headed by Adrian Percy, was my understanding, but now he's being replaced. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So our facility in West Sac, that will of course continue. That was a relatively new investment. It was important for us, particularly on the fruit and veg side, to have a presence there. It was important for us on the biological side to have a stronger presence there. My assumption is going forward that commitment will continue. It's a very important location for us, also from a talent point of view, both from a market and a talent point of view. Overall, though, just to frame it properly, once we integrate the two companies, so after this 2-month period, what we will do is, and take the example of R&D, we would simply sit down and look at all of the projects that we have ongoing, which stage they are, both Bayer and Monsanto. We'd look at our overall footprint, and we would reassess which priorities, the current priorities that we have, are they still the same priorities for the new combined company going forward, and then take those decisions going forward. So I wouldn't preempt the kind of the overall future direction of the R&D strategy. I think directionally it's pretty clear what way that will go based on the priorities of the two companies today. But we still, of course, need to leave the new leadership room to also take decisions. So that's where I would just say, and this is generally the situation for all functions. Only after this initial 2-month period can we really look at the insights of Monsanto and combine that with the insights we have then on the Bayer side, and simply take then a holistic combined decision about what the priorities of the company should be going forward. So I think you'll see a lot of continuity. I wouldn't expect any disruption here. But again, there needs to be a freedom to take decisions going forward.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Gil Gullickson with Successful Farming. Please proceed with your question.
Hello, Liam. Good to hear from you.
Hey, Gil.
My question is, there's been a couple groups in the United States, the National Farmers Union and the Organization for Competitive Markets, who have a lot of concern about what buyout is going to do with input prices for farmers. There's concern that with just a handful of massive companies controlling these inputs, that there's going to be a lack of competition, which would lead to increases for prices for farmers on their inputs. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, I would recommend those representatives to actually read the statements of Mekan Delrahim that he sent out, I think, on the 29th or the 31st of May, explaining why the DOJ had approved the deal. So the DOJ had seen the potential for similar concerns. They felt that if there were not adequate remedies, that there might indeed be a possibility that there would be a lack of competition, and wherever there's a lack of competition, there tends to be, unfair pricing. And the DOJ went basically out of its way to make sure that all competitive issues were addressed, vertical issues, horizontal issues, innovation issues, and ultimately to come up with a very comprehensive package that ensures that competition remains extremely strong in the industry, and with that there will be no negative impact on pricing. So So that's the basically the view of the DOJ, which has spent a tremendous amount of time and gone into a tremendous amount of detail to figure out this solution. And we also firmly believe there will continue to be tremendously strong competition in this space, not only from the existing players, and now that basically BSF has been strengthened, FMC has been strengthened in the new space, but you'll also have more and more new players coming in with advances in technology, and also some partially virtual companies offering a transparency in pricing simply based on data that they're collecting. So I think there's enough reason to believe that competition will remain very, very vigorous, and that pricing from a customer point of view will not suffer in the new environment. Is that okay, Gil?
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Nicole Heslip with Brownfield AG News. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, Liam. It's Nicole with Brownfield Ag News. I'm curious on what your thoughts might be with how the two companies are investing in rural communities or ag future ag leaders, how that might be changing or enhancing with the merger.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Nicole. So I think this was one of actually the big similarities that we saw in both companies. I think we both feel highly committed to the communities in which we're based, where we kind of work and play as well at the same time. And I believe we both have very strong ties in our communities that will continue. So particularly now that the bigger footprint is going to be in St. Louis, so those ties in St. Louis are, if anything, going to be strengthened. But we have plenty of other sites around the U.S., and wherever we are, we feel an obligation to be an active part of the community. So that will absolutely continue. It was part of the DNA of Monsanto, always has been, and it is a very strong part of the DNA of Bayer. So that commitment, I would say, is absolutely clear. And we both had a strong belief that we need to invest in the future of ag. And the future of ag is not only dependent on great innovation, it's also dependent on young people being interested in agriculture. So we both feel committed to investing in educational activities and basically motivational activities to get young people interested in ag, and make sure that we have a new generation of aggies that can help us continue the good work. So that there are two areas where I think both companies have always been strongly committed, and that commitment will continue in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our final question comes from the line of Steph Kukulgin with St. Louis Business Journal. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, Liam. I just wanted to follow up on an earlier point you made regarding the post-closing due diligence. Decisions regarding personnel or any real estate or any kind of decisions in terms of the combined entity, do you know if Bayer plans to make any changes in 2018, or will we see changes or improvements beginning in 2019? Do you have a timeline of when you think anything will be decided or made?
Yeah, there's no rush on any of these decisions. So particularly anything related to people, and again, this was say, one of the huge similarities between Bayer and Monsanto. Both are heavily, I would call them, people-focused companies. I think we both feel a very strong sense of obligation and responsibility towards our own people, and also to develop our own people. And clearly, if any personnel-related, people-related decisions are getting made, they need to be made in a very, very well-informed manner. And anything that needs to be implemented needs to be done in a very measured sense. So there's no kind of short-term, quick timeline here. There's no target, that cost target, that we need to reach in 2018. So this will all be done in a very deliberate manner, and ultimately we're moving people from RTP to St. Louis, and this is going to take probably a year. Some people will move immediately, some people will take longer, and this also depends on the family situation, kids at school and whatever. So there's many different situations that we need to cater for where we'll have to be very flexible. And only when we have a complete overview then of what the requirements are, then we would take any subsequent or additional personnel decisions. So I wouldn't expect any kind of sudden people decisions in this year. This will be done in a very measured sense.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I would like to turn the call back over to Beth and Liam for any closing remarks.
Well, thank you, everyone. If there are no more questions, then we want to, on behalf of the Bayer team, thank you for taking time out to join us today. Of course, if you have questions as we move through this process, please feel free to reach out to Darren and the U.S. team or myself and our global team, and we're happy to take those for you. And we also have a website, advancingtogether.com, that will be updated as we go through this process, and it's another resource there available for you. So thank you again for joining us today, and we wish you a great rest of the day.
Thanks a lot. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.